Praise the Lord, everybody. Let everybody say amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. The Bible says that everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Now they were speaking and singing in tongues, but I know you understood it. Amen. There's such a melody, there's such a blessing in hearing the songs. But we know that God wants to speak to us words of life and words of wisdom. So we want to thank the praise team one more time. Let's put our hands together for our awesome, amazing praise team. Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. Amen. And then also we want to thank our band. What an awesome band we have. Aren't we blessed to have a band that can play like this? I don't know about you, but I am so blessed by them. Thank you so much for the gift that God has given to the body of Christ. We are blessed and highly favored. We want to thank the Lord for his goodness and his mercy. And I want to thank God for each one of you, all of our visitors and all of our friends who have come to visit with us today. We're thankful that you are here, and we are praising God for your presence. Thank you, and please come back. Make this your home. And we want you to know that if there's anything we can do for you, we want you to know we're going to do it by the grace of God. And those who are watching online, we're glad that you joined us as well, because we know you have many options and many choices to choose from. But we're delighted to be in the house of God. If you're happy and you know it, let me hear you say, praise the Lord. All right, that was practice. Now, you really want to do the real thing. If God has been good to you, let me hear you say, praise the Lord one more time. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm thanking God because we are here, and I thank God that he woke us up this morning and started us on our way. And I'm thankful because, you know, everybody, and there's somebody who didn't wake up this morning. Somebody did not wake up. Somebody went through something last night and did not make it, but you are here. And by the grace of God, we ought to thank him for his blessings. And I am. I want you to know that my wife sends her regards. She's not here today because they had a conference meeting at the conference office, and she works in the Treasury Department, and they had to have all hands on deck. But she told me to bring her greetings and her love to you, and she wanted me to let you know she missed you and she loved you, and she can't wait to be back in the fellowship with the people of God. And so she sends her happy Sabbath and her love, and I wanted you to know that. Also, it's just good to see each one of you today. I don't know what you had to go through this week, but I know you made it. You're here. And God kept you, and God blessed you, and God watched over you. I always say a lot of things could have gone wrong, but the fact that you are here says a lot of things went right. Amen. You know the synergy in your body, what it takes for your liver, your lungs, and all the different organs to work together, to have homeostasis just come together and work. That means that you are wrapped in your right mind and able to be here in your own person. And that's a blessing. And for that, we say thank you. Again, we want to thank God for this day. Well, we're going to celebrate this month Black History, but I want you to know that as we celebrate it, we're thinking about God's goodness and God's grace to all of us. You know, the fact that you are still here says that you made it, and God kept you, and God kept your ancestors, and God kept you. And so I'm delighted that we can worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And whatever you're going through, the Bible says, cast all your cares upon me because I care for you. Whatever you're experiencing right now, I know as we differ in faces, we differ in our needs. But I want you to know, I want you to know that we serve a God who understands, and he knows your heart. And the fact that you are here is even a miracle. Because the Bible says in John 6:44, no one can come to God unless God draws them. And so the mere fact that you have a desire, you have an inkling, you have an appetite, you have something that says, I want to worship God, is a blessing. So today we worship God. Today we bless him because he's mighty, he's awesome, and he's good. We praise him together. Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, once again, we have come to this place of worship. Lord, we are here because you are worthy. We are here because you deserve our praise and our worship. And we recognize, oh God, without you, we could never make it. Without you, Father, we would not be here even right now, wrapped in our clothes and wrapped in our right minds. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, in these moments we have together, as we open up your word and as we reflect on history and reflect on your goodness, We pray that you will make the thought so crystal clear that no one can err, and that we will be drawn closer to you. We recognize your coming again that has already been alluded to in songs and already been mentioned earlier, that you are coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Father, right now we want to prepare to meet you in peace. It is our desire to come to know you as it is our privilege to know you. So speak to our hearts, we pray. Open our minds today that we might see Jesus. And then we'll give you the glory and the honor. For we ask it in the wonderful, precious name of Jesus, our coming King. Amen and amen. Our scripture reading, the text that we're going to use today, is found in Exodus chapter 3. And I'm going to begin reading verses 6 through 10 in your hearing. Exodus chapter 3, beginning with verse 6. The word of God says, "Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And the word of God says, "And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said," I'm reading from the New King James Version. We have the King James on the screen. "And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt." This is what the Lord says. I want to remind you, this is what the Lord says. The Lord says, as we lift up the word of God, I want you to understand that this is the God of the universe who is actually talking to a human being, to Moses. And the Bible says, and he says, "I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters." And the word says, "For I know their sorrows." I'm so glad right now we serve a God who can identify with our sorrows. Amen. I want you to know that you are not alone in this battle. You're not alone in this fight. For the word says, "So I have come down," Jesus says, in the form of the word of God, "I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from the land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey." The word of God says, "to a place," now I'm reading the King James, the New King James, "to a place of the Canaanites and the Hittites," and the word says in verse 9, "and Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hevites and the Jebusites." Now I know there's a lot of sites and ites here, but God wanted them to drive all them out of the land so that land can find rest. It was their responsibility, it was their command that God had given them, that they were going to go and drive out all the Perizzites and the Hittites and the Jebusites, and I would even add even the termites, because he wanted the land to have rest. And notice verse 9, the Bible says, now therefore the cry of the children of Israel has come up unto me, and I have seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. And verse 10, "Come now." This is what God says to Moses. "Come now, therefore I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of bondage." Today I want to speak on the subject, whether we realize it or not, God cares. God cares. Every time an accident happens, or a tornado, or a natural disaster, every time some horrific event takes place, people begin to question God's love and God's concern for his planet. There are some who believe that God is deistic and that God started this world and now he's absent and he stepped back and said, "Good luck, and I hope you can hang in there." There are many who believe that God is not concerned and God does not care from time to time. And if we're not careful, even in our own lives, it can become so personal in that we might experience something that will challenge us to wonder, does God really care about me? I mean, it's easy to do so because there's pain and heartache in the world and there's ups and downs and there are situations that take place in our experience that want us to question God's existence even. Does God really exist? Does God really care? In fact, in our lessons that we've been studying on Wednesday night, and we do invite you to join us on Wednesday night, and that information will be made available with Bible study. But we ask the question, why does God allow suffering? Why does God allow pain and heartache? Why does God allow death and sickness? How is it that God, who has all this power, God, who has all of this authority in this world, we experience breakup and divorce and heartache and disease and despondency and depression? How is it that we know that God cares? Well, I'm so glad you asked that question, because if you pick up the Word of God and begin to read from Genesis to Revelation, you will quickly discover that there is a God who is very much not only in love with the world, but God is in love with you. Amen. I want you to know that there's no problem, no situation. There is nothing that you are going through that God is not sympathetic to. Whatever you are experiencing right now, the Word of God teaches us that you can trust this loving God. I don't care what it is today. I don't know what it is today, but I want you to know that God is blessed. God is able to bless us above and beyond we can even ask or think. Whatever it is going on in your life, I want you to know that God cares about you. If I don't say it enough, I'm going to say it over and over again. I want you to understand, deep down in your heart and deep down in your psyche, there is a God who cares about you. Don't look at your circumstances. Don't look at your situation to determine whether God cares, because you can be so misled, because circumstances happen to everybody. The Bible says it rains on the just as well as the unjust. Good things happen to good, bad people, and bad things can happen to good people. In other words, things can just happen because we're living in a world of sin. And I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're experiencing. But I want you to know that there is a God who cares about you. Amen. Now, how do I know that? Well, I just want to lift up the Word of God and give a little evidence and show you how God cares. As we think about and reflect on Black history on this month, we can look at what God says, even his sympathetic heart to a people that's in bondage. The Word of God says, he says, I saw their affliction. And I want to go through some quotes here. I have a PowerPoint screen here, and I want to show you some things that was lifted up. I want to show you something. God cares, and if God can demonstrate his care for a nation, he can also demonstrate his care for you and me. In other words, I want you to understand that God cares. The Hebrew nation were in a servitude for a great number of years. They were slaves in Egypt, and the Egyptians treated them as though they had a right to control and soul, body, and spirit. It was a terrible thing. They were in bondage, and that's what slavery does. And it may not be a physical slavery, but it can be a slavery to addiction. It could be a slavery to a habit. It can be a slavery to some person. But whatever it is, slavery is never good in the psyche of a human being. In other words, when we look at the Word of God, we see that it was God's desire that God would step in. And I'm so glad it says, but the Lord was not indifferent to their condition. You see, your circumstance right now, God is not indifferent to it. God cares about you. I want you to understand that whatever it is and whatever you experience it in your home, in your family, in your marriage, on your job, God is not indifferent. You may think, why haven't you stepped in? God says, I have my own timetable. I'll step in when I'm ready. I'll step in when it's time. God has a timetable when he steps in, and he always shows up right on time. He's never late. He's never early. And God has this omniscient mind thought of, I know when to pull you out. I know when to deliver you. I know when to step in. And we saw the children of Israel for 400 years. They were in bondage. And you might ask the question, what took you so long, God? It's because sometimes God may not come when you want him, but you know he'll show up right on time. And that's why sometimes you got to stand still and see the salvation of God. Sometimes you just got to wait on the Lord and be of good cheer. Sometimes you just got to keep your mind stayed on him. And the Word says he'll keep you in perfect peace. Well, no, notice here, I'm not going to be long. The Lord was not indifferent to their condition. He had not forgotten his oppressed people.
He hath not forgotten his oppressed people. And if God can do that for a nation, I want you to know right now, whatever is oppressing you, God has not forgotten you. I'm preaching to myself right now. I'm just talking out loud. I'm going through some things. I've got to remind myself, no matter how much the burden may feel, the Bible says I can cast all my cares on him. He says, take my yoke. It is easy. In other words, God says, yoke up with me. Whatever oppression you're experiencing, God said, I haven't forgotten about you. I know where you are. I know whose you are. I know the time to step in. I'm so glad I serve a God who has a timetable. He knows right when to step in. And if he comes too soon, he'll abort the process of growth. You know, sometimes you got to let somebody go into the dark room. And they tell me back in the day when they had those Kodak films and you would open them up and you would take them to the shop and they would go into a dark room. That's how those photos were developed. God sometimes has to allow us to go into the dark room of our experience in order to develop us. And it seems like he doesn't care, but I want to remind you today that he has not forgotten his oppressed people. The record says God heard their groaning. They're groaning. In other words, you don't even have to pray sometimes. Just groan. Just moan. And sometimes you don't even have to say a word, but I'm so glad God is able to look down into the recesses of your heart. And before you ever call, the word of God says he will answer. In other words, you don't even have to say it. You don't have to verbalize it. You don't have to put a verb subject agreement together. You can just think about it. Isn't that amazing that God can read your mind? Can you imagine that? Now, all of us in here, God is reading our mind, knowing what we need right now. And he's not confused when he sends the blessing. You're sitting there praying for a breakthrough. I'm praying for financial breakthrough. I'm praying for a spouse. So I'm praying that, Lord, this job might come through. Lord, I'm praying. And I'm so glad God sees every heart and knows every prayer and is distinct to himself. It's as though a parent in another room. You know, it's amazing how you can hear your children and it seems like if they're in distress. You know when certain cries mean nothing and then certain cries mean something. You hear them in the other room playing and somebody fall down and hurt themselves and no, they good. And you don't move. But then all of a sudden there's certain cries, you know something really went down. And you get up and you start moving. That's how God is. When you call on the Lord, he knows when to show up. He knows the distress. He knows the pressure. And he remembers us as dust. And he knows how much we can bear. And if we would just hold on and call on the name of Jesus. That's all Peter did. Peter said, help. He didn't have time to say a long prayer. He didn't say he who is and he who was. He who sits high and he's a great. No, all he said was help. And whenever you call on the name of Jesus, he'll show up and God will show out. You just got to call him. Amen. Are you ready to call him? Well, sometimes people don't hurt bad enough to call on the name of Jesus, but you just got to call him. Listen. All right. It says God heard their groaning and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and with Jacob. You know, I'm so glad God remembers the covenant that he made. And don't you know you got somebody praying for you? I'm so glad if you have a praying grandmother or a praying grandfather or a praying aunt, God sometimes honor the prayers of somebody else just to bless you. I'm so glad somebody prayed for me. I don't know about you, but I'm so glad when I didn't know how to pray and I didn't want to pray and I wasn't thinking about praying, somebody was praying for me. And sometimes we don't know what to ask for. The word says there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. I'm so glad that somebody is praying for me. And you know right now, somebody praying for you. That's why you're able to make the journey thus far. Don't you know the devil wants to take you out? Don't you know if the devil had his way, you would not have awakened this morning? Don't you know if the devil had his way, he would have run you off the road? If the devil had his way, you would have had a house fire last night. Don't you know if the devil had his way, you would have had a car accident? But I'm so glad the devil can't do you any harm. And if God is for you, who can be against you? And all you got to do is trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto thy own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge God, and God will direct. He navigated you around some stuff this week. He navigated you through some stuff this week. He kept you when you couldn't keep yourself. And all I want to do is lift up this portion of scripture and show you what God did for a Hebrew nation is what God can do for us individually. God said, I haven't forgotten about you. I know where you are. I know the timetable I have you on. And if I can do it for somebody else, there's no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he can do for you. You just got to hold on to God. You know, when you look around and you see so many people bless you, sometimes ask, why not me? You wonder, why can't I get that blessing? Well, God said, I got a blessing for you, and your blessing doesn't have to be their blessing, but you're blessed because I have you on my mind. And the fact that you were created in the image of God and the fact that God put a stamp on you of love, you are blessed and highly favored. Notice here, God looked upon the children of Israel and God had respect unto them. You see, God loves you, God knows you, and God has respect unto you. And the word says, the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and I've heard their cry by reason of their taskmaster, for I know their sorrow. Don't you know, I'm so glad God can identify with my pain, but as God, understand this, as God, he could not understand my pain. As God, he was outside my pain. As God, he could not sympathize with me. But when he said, I'm going to come down there as a human being, he literally placed himself in a position of vulnerability so that he can identify with your pain today. Literally, when he came as a baby, grew up as a toddler, became an adolescent, became a man, Jesus grew up so that he could say, I know what you are going through. I know your pain. You see, as God, you can't tempt God. Why I know, how do I know that? The Bible says, let nobody say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God, because God can't tempt you with evil. In other words, as God, he can't even tempt you. As God, he can't even cheat. As God, he can't even lie. As God, he can't even put his hand behind his back, cross his finger, and tell you one thing and it be another thing. God cannot deceive you nor tempt you. But the Bible says, let no man say when he's tempted of God, because God can't do it. So when am I tempted? I'm tempted when I'm drawn away with the own stuff inside of me. And what Jesus did, Jesus said, I'm going to go down there so I can understand their pain, understand what it means to be tempted. Because as God, he didn't feel the pull. But as a human, he felt the tug. And I'm told by Gene Edwards in his book called Divine Romance, he says, as God, he didn't feel what it felt like. But as a human being, when Jesus came and felt the first temptation, he says in his book, Jesus said, this is what my woman feels. I'm talking about the church. He said, he felt the pull. He felt the magnetism. He understood what temptation was. But the Bible says he had no sin in him. He was tempted, but he had no sin. In other words, he did not yield. The prince of this world came to him, but couldn't find anything in him to answer. But you and I, every time the devil comes, he rings the bell. He knocks on the door. And what do? Open the door. Knowing the devil is knocking at the door, knowing it's the devil, we open the door and the devil creates havoc. But I'm so glad Jesus understands your pain. He understands your problems. He understands your temptation. He was tempted in all points, but not one time. Can you imagine? Not one time did he yield. Not one time did he give somebody a piece of his mind. Not one time did he think about wanting to get somebody. Now, I know we as Christians sometimes may not say the word, but how many of us thought the word? You know what I'm saying? Somebody run you off, blank, you say it in your head. It didn't come out your lips. You just thought about it. Well, Jesus never one time said anything, did anything, acted in a way that he had to apologize. Not one time did he sin. Not one time did he yield. So he understands what we're going through. He knows our sorrows. And I'm so glad it says, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. Aren't you glad God came down? I don't know about you, but I was stuck. I was stuck. I don't know about you, but had not Jesus come down, we would still be in our mess. We would still not know which way we should go. The Bible says again, the way of a man, it seems right, but its end thereof is death. I'm so glad Jesus came down. Aren't you glad he came down? And I don't know about you, but I just want to hold on right there. He came down. That's what in other words, it's not so much what he came down to, but it's what he came from. Can you imagine glory? Can you imagine no sickness, no heartache? The angels adored him. The universe magnified him. They lifted him up. He was glorified and blessed by everybody. But he decides to come down to a sin-sick planet called Earth and allow human beings that he made in his image from dust to mistreat him. I mean, I don't know about it. I mean, he came down and allowed them to manage him. They came down, and I think about it. He allowed human beings who he made in his image to not only do what they did to him, but they spat on him. They pulled his beard out on Calvary. They tell me they stabbed him in the side. They tell me they put a crown of thorns on his head. They tell me they nailed him to a cross. And the God of the universe allowed humans to mistreat him like this because he came down to identify with our pain. So you're not by yourself. You're not going through trials. I'm so glad he came down. So remind yourself, whatever you're going through, he came down. He came down. I'm so glad God came down to deliver them. Now, not only did he come down, but see, God comes down to deliver you from whatever that's managing you. He came down to deliver you from whatever slavery you're in. See, I'm not talking about just the Israelites. I'm talking about us. What addiction, what slavery are you in right now? What is it that you can't stop doing that you know is not good for you? What is it that's holding you back from God's ideal for your life? What is it that's keeping you from being the true you? I mean, what proclivity that you have towards that thing that will not let you have peace? God came down so that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And I'm so glad that if we allow him to manage us and come in our lives, he will deliver us like he delivered the Israelites. Notice here, and to bring them up out of the land to a good land. See, God never takes you from where you are to not take you to something better. Oh, you missed that. Let me say that again. God never is he. We're playing tug of war. We're playing tug of war with God because we think God's going to take us somewhere that we don't want. But I want you to know where God wants to take you is something that will bless you above and beyond you can even ask or think. In other words, what God wants to do for our lives is so much better than what we want for ourselves. God says, come unto me, let me bless you, and I can bring you to a land flowing with milk and honey. Why is it so difficult for us to say yes to God? I mean, why is it so difficult for God? It's almost like trying to save somebody out of a water that's drowning. If you go out there and save somebody, they start fighting you. Don't you want to almost say, well, you go on and drown there? You fight me. But I'm so glad God doesn't give up on us. I'm so glad no matter what your problem has been or what you have gone through, he has not given up on you. And the good news is he will not give up on you. Somebody asked the question, well, there comes a time when God can't work with you. The only time is when you say no to God. See, the unpardonable sin is the sin of refusing to let God work on your life. That's when you say, no, God, I don't want it. But as long as you say yes to God, as long as you say, I believe, help my unbelief, as long as you say, God, I know I'm not what I used to be, but thank God I'm growing. Thank God I'm getting bigger. Thank God I'm growing. But you know what? The good thing is he's taking you to a land that's flowing with milk and honey. And it's always a painful process when you're coming out of slavery to freedom. You see, one thing about the children of Israel, what was difficult was they never smelt free air before. And see, that's the problem with us. We've never smelt free. I don't know what freedom really smells like. I don't know what it means not to have this problem. I don't know what it means not to live with this addiction. I don't know what it means. But God says, my heart is to bring you out of where you are, to take you to a place that will bless you and lift you and help you. Notice, saints, I'm almost, I'm going to hurry up. I got to hasten. When God called Moses to be his instrument in delivering the Hebrew nation out of cruel bondage, Moses considered the difficulties of the situation and thought of the obstacles that he would have to encounter in doing the great work. See, that's what do I have to do to get this? Don't worry about what you have to go through. The fact is, if God said do it, he'll move mountains. If God said do it, just start walking by faith. He can either make you become invisible or he can move the wall. God says just start moving. I don't know what it is in your life that he's asking you to do, but God knew that the people were in blindness. He knew that they were in ignorance and that their minds had become beclouded in faith, and that they were almost destitute of the knowledge of God. And that's what slavery does. It wants to abase the knowledge of God from us. It wants to take from us. An addiction or slavery is designed to wipe out your mind about God. And once we don't have God in the equation, we're in trouble. And that's the devil's desire. He said, wherefore, say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord thy God. I will bring you from the burdens of Egypt. And I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgment. God says, I will redeem you. That's what he's going to do. I'm so glad he's going to do it. And I will take you to me for a people. See, God not only wants to redeem you out of slavery, but you know what God's desire is? To bring you to him. Not just a church member. Not just going to church. He said, no, I want a personal relationship with you. I want you to be with me. And let me tell you something. There are growing pains as you approach a holy God. See, when you're born in sin and shaping iniquity and you got to stop doing some stuff and you got to start doing the will of God, it might hurt. But God says, I want you to be with me. I want to walk with you and talk with you. I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out of the under the burdens of the Egyptians. But the Hebrew nation, now watch this, I want to transition because I'm almost there. The Hebrew nation is not the only nation that has been in cruel bondage and whose groanings has come to the ears of the Lord of hosts. The Hebrew nation. As we celebrate Black history, notice here as we look back, the Lord God of Israel has looked upon the vast number of human beings who were held in slavery in the United States of America. The United States have been a refuge for the oppressed. In other words, there were people who were leaving countries coming here because they were oppressed. But unfortunately, this thing called slavery affected so many people. During the Middle Passage, I'm told, from 1519 to 1846, for 346 years, they made 40,000 trips with 12 million slaves. And I won't even say enslaved. We don't say they're slave, they're enslaved, because they were never slaves. They were humans that were enslaved. That's the terminology is not they were slaves, they were enslaved. They were human beings held in bondage, taken from the motherland, and they made this trip 346 years, and it was 40,000 trips that they made, and over 12 million enslaved individuals came to America. And they say almost 1.8 million were lost. Some about 40,000 or more were thrown overboard. They lost their lives, and several jumped over. It was the Middle Passage. In this Middle Passage, where they dropped some of us off down in South America, and some were dropped off in the islands, and some were dropped off in Antigua, and some were dropped off in St. Thomas, and some were dropped off in Jamaica, some were dropped off, and then we came to the United States as a people, and we got here, and they took that time, and they were placed in a ship like sardines. They were packed. It was terrible what they had to go through. And this is a people. And the fact that you are here says that God has his hands on you. God bless your, in other words, somebody in your line of ancestry didn't jump overboard. Somebody in your line kept the faith. Somebody held on long enough so that you could show up. And for that alone, you ought to bless the Lord. In other words, you ought to thank God because somebody was strong enough to hold on long enough to make it. But notice, it was a marvelous preserve from the war and bloodshed. In other words, God saw the foul blot of slavery upon the land. He marked the suffering that were endured by the colored people. He saw it. And this is God's heart. This is God's thought to slavery. Now, I want you to understand, we're not just talking about just people of color, but we're talking about a large, this awesome God whose heart is compassionate to humanity, but he allowed it. So those who are looking on need to understand that God's heart is the same, not just for black folk, but it's the same for white folk. It's the same for red folk. It's the same for yellow folk. God's heart is humongous for everybody, because the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes. But the fact that God steps in human history, the fact that God intervenes at the time that he needs to intervene, says he's a God of love. And that's what I need you to walk away from. I need you to walk away from here knowing that I'm not by myself, and there is a God who cares about me, and there's no burden too heavy that he won't lift. There's no problem too difficult that he won't unravel. There's no situation that he won't bring me out, that if I trust in the Lord and I hold on to God, he will make a way out of no way. See, I don't know what you're going through, but I know who it is that's with you while you're going through it. I don't know what trials you're going to face this week, but I do know there's a sovereign God. There's an awesome God who's omnipotent with all power. And whenever he decides to step in, he can move any mountain, he can move any problem, but he does it at his time. That's why I've got to learn to trust him. I got to learn to trust this sovereign God. I got to learn to wait on this God. Notice here, he moved upon the hearts of men to work in behalf of those who were cruelly oppressed. The southern states became one terrible battlefield, and it was. I mean, when you go back and look at these history stories or the history channels and see how it was, it pales in comparison of how it really was. But they try to depict how it was. It was terrible. And during that time, you have to ask, where is God? Where is God? When I hurt, where is God? When it seems like I'm going through this, don't you want to cry out? I don't know about you. Where is God when a mother loses a baby? Where is God when somebody, I mean, over some stupid stuff, you hear and read the news, you almost ask, where is God? A man got mad at his roommate because he ate his sandwich in the refrigerator and killed him. Where is God? I mean, stupid stuff. We live in a world that's jacked up, but I'm reminding us that when you look at the Word of God and put your mind in the pages of Scripture, it can't do anything but help you understand that we serve a God who cares, and it seems like he doesn't, but he steps in when he knows it's the right time. I just got to hold on. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel yet. The graves of America's sons who had listened and delivered those oppressed race are thick in the soil. Many fell in death, giving their lives to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that were bound. And there's more that can be said about that. Many men, colored folk, went off to war, came back, and couldn't even get anything, and they were still considered not even human beings who fought for this country. God spoke concerning the captivity of the colored people as verily as he did concerning the Hebrew captives. In other words, he identified with this situation and just as he did with the Hebrew captives. So let's put ourselves. Now, when he begins to talk to Moses to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt, it's the same way that God never wanted slavery to happen. And so God began to work and to deliver them. But it was 400 years of servitude, 400 years of slavery. But God knew what he was doing, and God needed to step in when he needed to step in. And I'm so glad he stepped in, and if God could do it for them, I believe God can do it for me. And if God can do it for me, God can do it for you. And you've got to start walking with your chest up, saying, the devil meant it for harm, but God meant it for good. And this thing ain't gonna last forever. I'm gonna come out of it. I'm gonna be stronger. I'm gonna be bigger. If I can just trust God a little longer, if I can just keep my eyes stayed on him, he'll keep me in perfect peace. If I can just stand still and see the salvation of God, he gonna come through for me. Why? Because he's done it before. God can do it again. The same God. He'll never stop being God. He's immutable. He's the same. And since God is immutable, that means if God is no respecter of persons, what God did for the Hebrew nation, what God did for the colored folk who were brought, they call us colored folk. We were colored at one time, Negro at one time, and now we're black. Okay. You know, language changed. But I'm just glad to be here. Hey, man. I'm just glad to be here. God spoke concerning the captivity of the colored people as verily as he did concerning the Hebrew captives and said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people. I've seen it. I've watched it and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmaster. For I know their sorrows and I am come down to deliver them. That's what God did. The Lord wroth in freeing the southern slaves, but he designed to work still further for them. As he did for the children of Israel, God now is doing for the southern, those slaves that are enslaved in captivity. I'm so glad God did it. It wasn't just a sign and no proclamation. It was God that stepped in. You got to understand that God's hand is part of the human history. God steps in. He'll step in your life right now if you just let him. I'm so glad he's waiting. The Bible says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door, I'll come in and I'll sup with him. Aren't you ready for God to come into your life? I don't know about you. Aren't you ready for him to do a new thing? Aren't you ready for him to come into your life and give you the freedom and the joy of living, that peace that has everlasting peace? I don't know about you, but I need him to come in to fix my problem. I need him to come in and fix my life. I need him to come in and turn some things around. And if he did it then, he can do it again. I'm declaring it on your life right now that in February the 3rd, 2024, whatever it is in your life that need to be turned around, whatever captivity that you need to be brought out of, God, do it for us right now. In the name of Jesus, give us a breakthrough. In the name of Jesus, God, hear our cry. He heard theirs. Start moaning and groaning. Start calling out to God. What is it you need him to do for you right now? Put your finger on it. In fact, roll it out to him. Lay it out. Say, God, this is where I am. And then put your hand on a promise. You said. Tell him you said. I remember one time I had gone out of town, and I was doing a revival somewhere, and I had come back into town. But before I left, I had promised my boys when they were younger that I was going to do something. And I told them, I said, when I come back, I promise I'm going to do this, this, and this. And I came back, and it was a Sunday evening, and I was a little tired, and afternoon, and you know the first thing they said, Dad, are you going to do so-and-so? I said, well, y'all know I'm a little tired. I've been going all week. Can I do it? They said, now, Dad, you said. That's what got me right there. See now, if they had just left me alone, that bothered me when they said, you said. They said, we ain't making this up, Dad. You promised us. You said you would do such and such when you got back. Aren't you back? Ain't that you? You said you were going to do it. So that's what you can do to God. I'm so glad you can put your finger on a promise and you can tell the Lord, you said it. I didn't make it up, God. I opened up your Bible and you said that if I come to you, you won't cast me out. You said if I confess my sins, you're faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. You said that if I walk right, you're going to give me the blessing, the desires of my heart. You said I can cast. You said it. That's all God wants you and me to do right now. Whatever it is in your life, put it before the Lord. Cast it on him. Tell him God said. I got about 7 minutes, y'all. I'm going to let you go. Here it is. Those who study the history of the Israelites should also consider the history of slaves in America who have suffered, who have been educated in crime, degraded and oppressed, and left ignorance to perish. Their physical freedom was obtained at great loss of life. And Christians generally should have looked with compassion upon the colored race for which God had cared. Now, I want you to know this is coming from the inspired writing of our prophetess, Ellen White, from this church. This is commentary. So I'm not making this up. This is what the Lord inspired her to say to her church and to the people of God. This is what she inspired. This is what God is saying to us through the inspired writings. God is saying that they should have had compassion upon them for which God had a care. They should have done a work for them which have uplifted them. They should have worked through the wisdom of God to educate and train them. In other words, there were some Christians who were standing by acting as though it didn't happen, turning their face, turning their head. But then there were others who stepped in. There will always be somebody who cares enough to step in. That there will always be somebody who loves enough. In other words, we have been very neglectful of our colored brethren and are not prepared for the coming of the Lord. See, that's why the Lord, I'm so glad Jesus didn't come. I'm so glad he held up. I'm so glad that they had to come out of darkness. And that's why we are here, to now take look back and educate those who are coming behind us with the truth of God's word. There are people in your context, in your community, on your job. And the bottom line is this: if we live and miss the second coming of Christ, we have missed everything. And everything ought to be ready to make sure that when he comes back, we see him. Lo, this is our God. We've waited for him, and he shall save us. How many want to be saved? I don't know about you, but I want to be saved. I want to go home with Jesus. I'm tired of pain and heartache. I'm tired of the cries of these neglected people have come before me, God says, who has entered into a work since the deliverance of the bondage to teach them the knowledge of God. That's all you need, the knowledge of God. That's all you need, the knowledge of God. That's all you need is a knowledge of God. It does something to you. When you start knowing God cares about you and God loves you and God wants to deliver you, it does something to your psyche. God wants me out of this. The condition of the colored people is no more helpless than was the condition of the Hebrew slaves. The children of Israel were addicted to licentiousness, idolatry, gluttony, and gross vices. And this is the ever result of slavery. I'm stuck. I can't get out. That's the devil's goal, to keep you in there, keep you from having freedom. But the Lord, I like that conjunction, but the Lord, amen. But the Lord, but the Lord, but the Lord looked upon his people, and after their deliverance, he did what, everybody? He educated them. You see, one thing about becoming a Christian, you come out of darkness and then you got to be educated. You come out of slavery, then you got to be educated. You come out of addiction, then you got to be educated. That's what the church is about. We need to make the church a place where I can learn how to walk the walk of Jesus. That's all it is. See, the church is not a place where we say we're better than somebody else and we have it all together. The church is not a place where I can look down at somebody and say, you got to come. No, the church is a place where we all once were slaves, but God delivered us and we're all learning how to live right. We're all now learning how to do the will of God. We're all learning how to prepare for the second coming of Jesus. Now we're learning how to eat right, talk right, live right. We're learning. We must be educated, and they were not left uncared for. I'm so glad God provided a place where we can come and learn about him. That's all this is, the church, a place where I can learn about him. Notice here, the neglect of the colored race by the American nation is charged against them. Those who claim to be Christians have a work to do teaching them to read and to follow various trades and engage in different business enterprises. Many, now I'm finished, here it is. Many, now listen to this, many among this race have noble traits of character and keen perception of mind. And the pen of inspiration, if they had opportunity to develop, if they had opportunity, see, that's the goal. See, that's all I wanted to understand. That's where I wanted to get to. In other words, through all the hell you're going through, if given an opportunity, I mean, given all the stuff that try to keep you back, if given an opportunity. See, that's all you and I have in this life is an opportunity. That's all we have in life is a choice. That's all we have in life is to be able to make a vote for God and no longer make a vote for the devil. In other words, God gave you a way out. We have been delivered from the power of sin, but not from the presence of sin. And if given an opportunity, this was said before the opportunity was given. You hear what I'm saying? This was said before the opportunity was given. I want to say that again. This was said before the opportunity was given. And she's saying that, in other words, human beings created in the image of God has the potential, whether white, black, blue, green, doesn't matter. Created in the image of God, the fact that you have the stamp of God on you, if given the opportunity, something could happen for your life. If just given the opportunity, that's all I need, God. If given, I want you to walk away with that. If given the opportunity, I need you to know, number one, God cares. And if given the opportunity, and thirdly, if you act on it properly, something can happen to your life. That's the bottom line. Let me read it again, that part. If they had an opportunity to develop, they would stand among an equality with the whites. Now, this is not this degrade, but the point is where slavery or enslaved people came from. Whether it was the Hebrews, whether it was black, whether it was white, the fact is they were degraded, and if given an opportunity, their lives could change. Can you imagine people in darkness right now, gangbangers and people hooked on drugs, people that's out there, if given an opportunity to know Jesus, what could happen to their lives? Why do I say that as I close and as he comes? This is true. What happened? This is truly what happened. Notice, and this is just a few of the greats, 101 great of African Americans. Just a few. Don't you know in every category that the opportunity was given, improvement took place? I mean, think about it. In every opportunity, civil rights leaders, Julian Bond and Ralph Bunche and Medgar Evers and Clark Hale and Jesse Jackson, Coretta Scott King and Martin Luther King Jr., Rosa Parks and Harriet Tubman, Roy Wood, in every category. I mean, you can go down, artists and actors, Chad Bozeman and Elizabeth Catliff and Morgan Freeman and Sidney Portney, and the list goes on with actors. Every category, historians and educators, Mary McLeod Bethune and Mamie Field Clarks and W.E. Du Bois and John Hope Franklin and James Weldon Johnson and Booker T. Washington and G. Carter, in every category, these individuals were given an opportunity and they took advantage of it. Explorers and musicians and politicians and public servants and scientists and inventors, sport heroes. I mean, think about it. In every category, if given an opportunity. And that's the reason why for you who think you can't make it, God is saying, yes, you can. If given an opportunity, you can make it. People that's going to walk on streets of gold are people who've overcome by the blood of the Lamb. People who are going to make it to glory are not people who didn't have issues. They're people who overcame something. And I don't know what it is in your life you have to overcome, but I want you to know that, number one, God came down so that he can take you to a promised land. And through all the hell that you might have been through, and through all the stuff you inherited and cultivated, the tendencies and the habits you developed create slavery for us. Yes, it does. It creates a type of slavery, because you know what happened? The Bible says, I become holden by the cords of my own doing. Let me say that again in Proverbs. It says, I become holden. In other words, I become locked down by the stuff I do to me. Nobody else can do it to you. It has to be an inside job. It's choices that I'm making. It's places that I'm going. It's stuff I'm listening to. It's things that I'm seeing. And you know those footholds? They become a stronghold. And before long, I become a slave. And I become so entrenched and so trapped that I can't get out. But I want you to know that God says, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And God said, if you open the door, I'll come in and sup with you. And I'll begin to work in your life a new thing. All you got to do is say, yes, God. One thing about God, he's not going to impose himself on you. God wants intimacy, not rape. I want to say that again. He wants intimacy. He wants you to want him. And by just simply saying, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief, God will do something in your life. That's plain and simple. Again, notice, if they had given the opportunity to develop, and they did, as I close, this is my question for you tonight, today. The ancestors told me to tell you, keep fighting. Wow. You know, if they could see you, you are their greatest ambition. I think about it sometimes. Somebody was in my lineage on that ship that made it. And then through them, they went through slavery. Through them, they went through segregation and Jim Crow. They went through a lot. But you're still here. Think about it. You are still here. It's humbling to think that somebody great, 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 way back there, if they were alive now looking at me, how proud would they be of the opportunity that I have. What would they tell me? Keep fighting. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Don't quit now. In other words, what opportunities is God giving you? Think about it. What opportunities is God giving you? And when I think about sometimes, I say, how much more time will God give me that he didn't give to somebody else? I mean, some child, somebody died at 14, somebody died at 15, somebody died at 19, somebody died at 30, somebody died at 40, and here I am, 64. How much more time will God give me? How much more time God will give you? How much more time do you need? How many more opportunities? How many doors? I don't know. But today is the day, he says, if you hear my voice, don't harden your heart. Today is the day. In other words, the Bible says, this is the day the Lord has made. We ought to rejoice and thank God for the moment I have. I'm breathing. I'm alive. And I got to take advantage of this opportunity now. And I got to say, Lord, please do for me what I cannot do for myself. I'm trapped and I can't get out. I don't know what to do. I'm tired of myself. Sometimes I'm just so sick and tired of going back. And like Paul says, oh, wretched man that I am, who's going to deliver me from this body of death? I want to stop. I want to quit. But I find myself taking 5 steps forward only to take 20 back. And I'm starting over and over again. God, I want to cast all my cares on you today. God, I want to trust you more, God. I want to just give you my life. I want to serve you, God. I want to give you my everything. And that's your desire. I want you to say to me, yes, God, I need you in my life. I want to pray over you today. If you want to say, Lord, this opportunity, I don't know how many more I'm going to get. Right now, I got this opportunity. Would you stand with me so I can pray over you? Just for a moment, I just want to pray over you. You want to say, God, I hear the preacher. I hear your word. I want you to do for me what I cannot do for myself. Lord, I'm tired of being tired. But I understand, now I understand, God, all I've got to do is say yes. That's simple things. Yes, it's a choice. You one choice from a breakthrough. That's all. You one choice from a breakthrough. One decision. Yes, God, and then God does the rest. God says, once you say yes, then I'll begin to move. I'll begin to move. And I'll open up doors, and I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. That's why we're standing today, to solidify our choice for God. I want to choose the Lord today. That's what Joshua said. As far as I'm concerned, me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Aren't you made? Don't you want your mind made up like that? As far as I'm concerned, me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to do the right by God. I'm praying for you. Then as I'm praying, Lord, there may be somebody who may need to just say, yes, I need to join this church. I need to give you my life. I need to accept you as my personal Savior and even think about baptism and walk all the way with you today. I'm about to pray this prayer, and as I'm praying this prayer, if that's your desire, while we have every head bowed and every eyes closed as we're praying, and you want to say, yes, God, I need to give my life to you. I haven't done it yet. You just raise your hand. Is there someone? Just raise your hand. Whoever you are, you just want to say, yes, I haven't made that decision yet. Before I walk out of here, I want to make sure my calling and election is right with God. Just raise your hand. If you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I'm praying. As you contemplate that thought, I'm praying. Father, I want to thank you for Jesus. I want to thank you for coming down. You didn't leave us in our misery. Like the Hebrews, you didn't leave them in their misery. Like enslaved individuals who were brought over from Africa, you didn't leave them in their misery. And now, God, it reminds us there are some of us who are enslaved, captives of habits. And I'm so glad you will not leave us to ourselves. So in the name of Jesus, for those of your children that are standing, Father, I pray for deliverance in every area of their life. Whatever it is that they're fighting, whatever it is, God, I pray that you'll give them victory. Today, right now, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the freedom that we can find in Jesus. God, we thank you for deliverance that we can find in your name. And while we're standing, God, we're standing because we're saying we need help. And we cannot do this without you. So God, come down here. Deliver us. As you sent Moses to bring the children of Israel out of bondage, thank you for bringing, sending your son Jesus to bring us out of captivity. Now, Father, I pray that by the grace of God, that we'll walk free now. I pray that today, Lord, as we walk out of here, we'll walk out of here in freedom, declaring victory, declaring that we are free. And whoever the Son sets free is free indeed. We thank you and we bless you and we love you and we can't wait to see you when you come. We thank you, O God, in the name of Jesus. And all of God's children said amen and amen and amen. Put your hands together for Jesus if you don't mind. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you. You may be seated. You may be seated. Right before the praise team sing us out of here, we have certificates of baptism for two individuals who were baptized, and they are here today, and we praise God for that. Say a certificate of baptism. This certifies that, I hope I pronounce it right, Rosalina Pierre Louise was baptized in accordance with the commandments of our Lord. Put your hands together in the name of our Father, Son, Jesus Christ. We thank God for that at the Message of Hope Mission. We also have Oni Simone Richmond. Is Oni? Oh, okay, praise the Lord. How you doing? All right, put your hands together one more time. Amen, amen, and amen. And we want you to know that the water is ready whenever you say, I want to be baptized and I want to walk in the newness of life. God bless you.